distinction. In other words, God is going to begin to separate his body.
Yeah.
I mentioned last week that the thing that's going to happen, the revival, the rebuilding, then the reformation.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention one of the other R's. The word right in the verse before, Ezra 9:9, if you want to look, if you want to put that down, you'll see that what we talked about. In Ezra 9:8, he said, only a remnant is going to be revived. Don't be looking for any of the major religions, none of the major denominations, to have a revival.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the distinctions that I saw this evening was you didn't go 15 minutes at your praise and worship, which is what is happening today in the so-called seeker-friendly churches. Give me my 15 minutes of praise and worship and I'm done. Give me my word and I'm out of here in an hour. There's the distinction that God is going to separate.
Yeah.
I believe we went, you started around 7:15 and you handed it over to pastor about 7:55. God is going to separate houses.
Yeah.
House of God. Mm-hmm. And that remnant is going to experience the revival.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to revive and you're going to have a revival and then you're going to go out and you're going to say, well, how come your church is not having it? Because they're not inviting Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
Yes.
You see, let me do my thing here, says the pastor. Let me give him my sermon here on whatever. And give him a few Greek terms, and they think they got something. Now, I might give you a few Greek terms tonight, but don't. But that's what God is beginning to do. He's beginning to separate.
Yes.
There's going to be, and you said February, and you know, I heard the word February too.
Well,
I didn't know, and I think, I don't remember if you guys had said that you wanted to be in the new building by February. I'm not sure. Maybe that's what hit me. But I heard February too.
Yeah.
But God is beginning, last week we, who wasn't here last week? Let me see your reason. Started from here, where were you?
I was sick.
Well, I hope after the preaching you were here. I wanted to do another, because I was listening with the, when he was saying that we're going to go lay hands on people. You know something? If you're, let's say you're walking through the mall, or your malls are, they're not crowded. I mean, I've been to malls and all of a sudden, that's probably my you're just going to maybe touch somebody. You don't have to, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Teacher. And they'll be healed. That's what's going to happen. They're going to be healed. Don't expect, you might see it that quick. But then it may not. It could happen in 24 hours. I was, my wife was, by the way, Saturday I'll be heading on home for a holiday. and so she was taking care of Kinsey, and she said, she'd been going through, she was sick, she was going through a headache, and she brought her up close, because we did FaceTime, and she brought her up close, and I just touched her forehead right on it. And then the next day, I said, how's Mackenzie doing? She said, oh, she's better. Right on your phone. It doesn't matter where. You have something in you.
Yes.
You've got life in you.
Yes.
No death whatsoever. I don't care what this body does. It could grow old. I've been working with Lynn all week, and And between him and I said, Len, you, me and you are probably some of the two oldest people around. And I was saying, I'm glad we got the plumbing because it's the easiest part of everything. We're not lifting heavy walls and stuff like that. We're just picking up a few pieces of pipe and throw them in the wall. We drill a few holes. But another distinction, the old and the young coming together, and the third generation. You see, when something begins to happen, it took Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
And believe it or not, all of them lived in the same household. I know Jacob took off. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they saw each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pop, grandpa, and son. All of them. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to throw this line at you, and I'll probably throw it again later on. It's a Western thing. Conversion starts at about 50 years old. And I'll explain by the time you'll understand. 60, you're starting to get into your prime. 70 and 80, if your health holds up, you're going to do great things. Now, if you're young and you're 30, like Tim, I'm just giving you that good age. You should say, yeah, I am. Younger or older?
31.
Oh, see, look at that. I knew that. I would have grabbed that one, man. I would have grabbed onto that. You can start now.
Yeah.
About 20 years ago, the word used to be destiny. Destiny this and destiny that. We're going into our destiny. We're moving into... I would have my board here, but there was nothing to hold it up. So
I could put it on that thing.
Well, I just, you know why I put it down there? So that's so I can remember.
Yeah.
It might be, well, if you want to, because it doesn't have something to hold it, it might slide. It might start sliding.
I'll look for you.
No, that would be good. I can see you, two guys. By the way, I did set my phone to stop at 9 o'clock, okay? So I don't want to keep, I think last week we was here until 9:15 or 9:00. I could have gone all the night. But about 20, 25 years ago, the word used to be destiny.
Yes.
And everybody was looking for their destiny. Destiny this and destiny that. And about 15 years ago, remember the word transition. Everybody was transitizing?
Transiting.
Transitioning. Transitizing. Put that down. It's going to go. You know, all the new words that are going into the dictionary. You know, you can look it up there. New words. Yeah, New Webster Dictionary. Transitioning. That was the new word. That was the word about 15 years. And about 5 to 6 years ago, the word conversion came. C-O-N, maybe that's the word Corey saw. Convergence. Let me give you the, thank goodness for iPads, right? Now, iPad, you will work. You know how these machineries, you know how these things work. They don't come up, and so when they don't come up, you look at them really hard, because he's not coming up. And I press my button, and you know what you want to do? What do you want to do when something like that happens?
Try it.
Yeah.
Reset.
Is somebody ready to catch this or something? So I'm going to go to my notes. And the word, here's a definition for the word convergence. As one believer enters into the period of life when they are engaged in the role that empowers them to do what they were created to do before they were born. Let me repeat that. Convergence. When a believer enters into the period of life when they are engaged in the role that empowers them to do what they were created to do before they were born. Understand this. God called you to do something.
Yeah.
There's five elements of conversion. Five elements. I'll give you the five elements in a little bit. But about, 15, 20 years ago, there was a doctor by the name of, he taught at Fuller Theological Seminary, Dr. Robert Clinton. No relations to Hillary.
Bob, no, Bill.
He did a survey for 30 years, and what he did was he kept in touch with his students and fought to find out what they were doing. And after about 30 years, he asked all his students. Now, these were people who went into full-time ministry. These were preachers and stuff like that. He asked them, "What are you doing?" And he found out, and when he took account of all of his students, he found out that only 20% were doing what they felt the Lord was calling them to do. Now, he believed that the ultimate call was to be in full-time ministry. I began to differ with that meaning several years ago when I believed not everybody is called to the pulpit. When you only look at 10% of the Jewish people that came out of Israel, out of Egypt, the Levites, it was only 10% of them that were actually involved in the house or in the ministry of the house. So that means you, and remember what we did last week, we gave you the seven mountains. Well, you are supposed to be in one of those. Yeah. You. Yeah. And you're supposed to influence that. Yeah. Now, let me just say this. If you're working in a building and there's all non-Christians there, now, physically, they're in charge, but let me tell you, in the spirit, you're the one that's going to that gain you. You're the one that's in charge.
Yes.
And it's up to you to move to the top. Well, how can I be the owner of this company? Well, why not?
Yeah, that's right.
You in construction, man. It's time to start get your own construction company. That's what I said. I would tell a lot of my students, I said, so what's wrong with custodial? Have your own custodial business. Have your own plumbing business. I was going to start a plumbing. I told my wife, I said, we're going to start a plumbing company. So we're going to buy one vehicle right now. It's going to be, if you call it a ute, I call it a truck. I'm going to get a pickup truck and I'm going to start my business. And then we got a prophetic word. And I said, okay, Lord, then I understand what you're calling me to do. Because I know what a plumbing business would do. It would take a lot of time, as you've seen working with Len and all. You can see just running a lot, just two bathrooms alone will handle you. And so, can you imagine running two buildings like that? And so, I said, okay, God, I understand what you're trying to do, so I'm not going to start the business. But that doesn't mean that you can't, that God didn't call you. But my grandfather was into spiritualism back in Puerto Rico. And he went to visit a lady because one of my uncles was sick. And the lady spoke over, it was a Christian lady, spoke over one of my uncles, and he was healed. And from that day on, he decided to turn.
Was it
70 years ago?
Yeah,
and that's 70 years. That's a for nations. That's the number for nations. Remember that. Remember what we said last week about Israel.
Yeah,
nations. And so he began, and he started five churches. And the way you know, understand somebody's fruit is if they're still standing today. Mm-hmm. He's been gone since 1970-something. Those five churches are still standing today. Because that's what he would do. He would go out there, and then he would start preaching, and then he would go to church there, and then he would go there, and he would start another church. And then when that got full and it was starting to blossom, he'd go somewhere and start another one. And he started. And I thought, well, we're supposed to build churches. And so I know that the Lord has called me to rebuild. Our whole family, I was talking to my cousin, my nephews, as I was talking with the pastor a couple of days ago. I was saying, my nephews, my sister-in-laws, my brother-in-laws, I don't have any brother-in-laws, my brothers, all of us are teachers. And the thing that we talked about last week was Ezra was the teacher to rebuild the house.
It's good.
And so as I was talking to one, my nephews, the last time we had a house meeting, by the way, we have a meeting once a month in one of the family's houses. So if you have a big family, you need to get together once a month so that your family stays together. Begin to say, yeah. What is God calling our family to do?
Yeah.
And so I began to talk to my nephews, and I said, I believe this is what we have to do. And so now when we get back, we're gonna pursue that just a little more. It was only like a couple of months ago. And so we need to begin to pursue what God has called us to do. The five elements, I'm gonna tell you the five elements. Number one is the sovereignty of God.
Yeah. Right.
In other words, let me just say this. God knew where you would be tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
God knew how old you would be tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's called you tonight to do what you're supposed to.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you have to understand, I cannot tell you what God told you to do or what God is telling you to do. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to pull out the Bible and you're going to have to begin to read and let the Lord direct you. And if you don't know how to pray, what do you pray in? You pray in your unknown language and begin to speak things to God. And God says this, it says in Romans chapter 8, 26, that the Lord helps us in our infirmities. The word helps, I don't know why they put that, it's three Greek words, there I go with my Greek, three Greek words put together, sun anti lambanomai, takes hold together with us against infirmities. Inabilities is actually, when you think of infirmities, the first thing you think of is your body is sick. But it's not. It's you don't know what God is saying. So what happens? You begin to speak in another language. You begin to pray in tongues every night. Mm.
Yeah.
Every night until the Lord begins to reveal to you what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't stop until you receive it. And when that comes, then begin to speak in tongues for the next step.
Yes.
Yeah.
God is sovereign. So he knew where you are. He knows how old you are. He knew what you was going to be. No transgender, please. When they come up to me and say, well, I'm a transgender, I say, show me the plumbing and I'll tell you what you are. You lose being a plum. we was talking the other day about Jordan Peterson from Canada.
Yeah.
They wanted to tell him how to think. When he didn't want to, he said, I'm not going to address that person as whatever. And I believe it was supposed to be a transgender or LGBTQ, WXYZ, all of that good stuff. And he says, you're not going to tell me how to think.
Yeah.
When you do that, you're infringing on my personal liberties.
Yes.
So, sovereignty of God. Second is the spiritual formation. When is that? What is that? That's when you get saved. Know that God, in the sovereignty of God, he knew where you was going to be, what you was going to do, where you would be tonight, and just when you would come to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many people here are not saved? You might need to take an inventory of your life. You came into this beautiful house, had that beautiful worship. Man, I'm telling you, I would just as soon kept going with the worship. I mean, what key were you playing in? Remember what key?
D.
Let me tell you something about music. The devil has come into the music, and what he began to do is he began to take the megahertz and begin to lower it, and begins to have an effect on your body. The megahertz that you play in that brings life is 444 and above. A goes off. A is, it's 444. Anything above it, it's higher. And so what happens is, when they was playing last week, because I think I asked you what key were you playing in, and I think you said A.
B.
Using letter. So in other words, you was a step above, and that's when I decided to go ahead and lay my hands on Nina.
Yeah.
I said, because at that time they could bring healing to the body. Mm. So you understand what God, in God's music, when God told Moses, he said, what you want to do is put my words to music, because it brings healing, and and the people begin to memorize.
Yeah. Wow.
Things become, you know how a little kid, you know how you go out there and you listen to your radio, and you may not be listening to Christian music, but all of a sudden, a week down the line, you know the words to the word that was on the music, that was on the radio. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you go, how did I learn those? Music bypasses a certain aspect and gets right to the spirit. So you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and God begins to speak to you.
Yes.
So the second step was spiritual formation. Get saved. That's just plain and simple. You don't get saved? Well, you know, I'm not going to pull any punches. You don't get saved, you ain't going to heaven. Hell is where you're on your way to. And let me tell you, hell ain't such a good spot. Because I'm going to just say this. This is, if you're unsaved, this is the best heaven you'll ever see. This is the only heaven you'll ever see. If you go to hell without Jesus, I'm going to tell you one name you'll never remember in hell. You'll never remember the name of Jesus. You're going to be down there and you're going to say, what was that name we're supposed to call on? What was that name we're supposed to call on? We can call on that name and we'll be saved. You won't remember. Because anybody who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. You will not. When I heard that, I go, that's the truth. They're going to talk to them, and you're going to go, oh. I know I would talk to a lot of my students, and they would say to me, they go, well, hell, what's so bad about it? I'll be down there with my buddies. I said, you'll never see them. You might hear them, but you'll never see them. And let me just tell you what's going to happen. If you're down there, they're going to be yelling just as loud as you are. I said, it's not a pretty place. I tell them, I says, you want to experience hell? I'll tell you the same thing. You want to experience hell? First of all, don't go with water for 3 days. Go without water, go without food. Try this. Try not going to the bathroom for 3 days. How about turning all the lights in your house? Never see the daylight. 3 days. Experience hell. That's just a little bit. Now, if you're going to heaven, this is the only hell that you'll ever see. Third step, in convergence. Gift, discovery, and development. You got to discover the gift that God has put within you and begin to develop it. And there's one thing about this. When it comes to a job, this is when you had jobs that you hated because you didn't do so well in them. I can tell you some of the jobs I didn't like. That's how many I didn't like. Don't worry about it. That's me. That's telling me I'm done. I'm going to give you the next two. But begin. Everybody, first thing I heard, everybody. I'll see how the electronics move. Gift, discovery, and development. Learn to discover your gift and begin to develop it.
Yeah.
If you're called to teach, begin to develop. If you're called to sing, develop it. If you're called to be a radio announcer, develop it. If you're called to be a writer, develop it. Yeah. If you're called to be in the government, develop it. If you're called to be a street sweeper, develop it. I know it sounds funny, but develop it.
Yeah.
And you'll be the best street sweeper that anybody has ever heard saw. If you're called to clean toilets, clean them the best way you can and be perfected at that. And if God called you to be a teacher, you'd be the best one you can be.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Four. This is where everybody fails and don't continue. The capacity to endure periods of contradiction. This is where people start falling off. This is where that Dr. Clinton, his 80%, fell off. They couldn't handle the contradictions. Can you imagine Joseph? Joseph falling off when he ran into contradictions. So what was the first one he did when he comes out with that? He says, "I had a dream." Not Martin Luther King. "I had a dream, and I saw your sheaves bowing before mine, all 11 of them." And his brother says, "I can imagine. Can you imagine?"
Yes.
11. You, first of all, you're the youngest, next to the youngest, and I gotta tell you what. That's it. And so, what did they do when he came out to find him? They sold him, threw him in a pit. And they sold him to Ishmaelites on his way to Egypt. Mm. Then all of a sudden it looks like he's doing real good because now he's in Potiphar's house and he's overseeing the house. Potiphar, the only thing that Potiphar withheld from him was his wife. But everything else was under his command. And then all of a sudden, he's accused of trying to rape her. Oh, how many times have we seen that in the news? So it's not new. And so he's thrown into prison. Can you imagine? I want you to think of this though. What if God had answered his prayer before he made it to Pharaoh's court? What if God had answered his prayer and said, "I'll send you back to Canaan"? Can you imagine what that household would have looked like? I mean, Dad would have said, "I thought he died." And then all of a sudden, brother against brother. You think there would have been some. And then all of a sudden, starvation sets in there because nobody would have been in Egypt to try to save Egypt. So it's a contradiction. What happened? What would have happened if he decided, "I'm going to give up now"? when he was thrown into prison. But then all of a sudden he's thrown into prison and he's put over the head, he's put over them. And then he gets the butler and the drinker. The nightcap.
The cupbearer.
The cupbearer. He's the butler and the cook and the cupbearer. Yeah, the cook and the cupbearer. And all of a sudden, he says to the cupbearer, you're going back. Sorry for you, buddy. You're going to get you. You're gone. And he said, and then he says to the cupbearer, he says, hey, man, you know, kind of remember me when you come into your kingdom, man. For 2 years, he sits in the jail. And then the Pharaoh has a dream. And the cupbearer says, I know a man in prison. It's a Jewish guy. He interprets dream. He interpreted my dream. He interpreted the cook's dream. Says, let him bring him up. Now, he was fulfilling his dream, and he was fulfilling his office, I want you to understand, not in the land of his promise, but in the land on one of the mountains.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. He wasn't fulfilling his dream in the church. He was fulfilling his office in the church. He was fulfilling it underneath a person who's Pharaoh. But I want you to see the influence that he had to the high courts. Look at Daniel, how he influenced Nebuchadnezzar, then Cyrus, then Darius. Look at Esther, how she influenced the king.
Yeah.
None of them in the land that they thought that God had called them to. Yes. So you might be called to another area, and I don't mean to leave the church, but just an area so that you can influence. Don't let contradictions stop you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life.
Amen.
Give contradictions the right foot of fellowship. Right out the door. I was talking with men the other night. I think a pastor, I think they asked you to, I think they asked you to leave the church. I mean, they gave you the right foot of fellowship. Good thing. Because God is calling you to something bigger.
Yeah.
God is calling this place, this house,
yes,
to a new thing. Yeah. And I believe February is going to break out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was talking with you read his books, Robert Swearden. He came down and he said, I want to tell you, Ray, that the mega churches today are not going to be more than about 300.
Yes.
He said, but when you see them grow bigger, they'll be okay, but that's going to be your mega churches. You know, then you have your multi-mega churches, the ones who are extremely big. But the new ones today, you're going to have a lot of those. And what's going to happen is they're going to join. Now remember, the remnant. You are the remnant.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's going to be revival in you. You're going to bring revival to this place.
Yeah.
When Pastor and I, we just got to talk together. We just got to talk. And I was saying, you know, Sale is at a crossroads, the city. There's a freeway comes from up north, and then you got the freeway coming from the west, coming east, and it stops right here in Sale.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, you can't go any further east. Well, you can go there if you want to swim, but then you go up and go north and go south, and then you can go back west. You're right there across from crossroads. Things happen at crossroads. Good things happen. People come. And you, like you said, people are gonna start coming to this place. So don't let contradictions, number four, don't let contradictions veer you away from what God has called you.
Yeah, right.
And then step five is convergence. When you begin to apply the gifts and that you have discovered. When you begin to apply that. Now, when I said when you discover your gifts and your callings, some people want to go right into it at that point, but God might be pulling you back. Might be pulling you back. And he said, you're not fully developed yet. I want you to go through some contradiction. Let me just say this. When Jesus was about ready to go into his ministry, what did he deal with? It said that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. I looked up that word led, and it literally means, Joel, he grabbed him by his hand, but he led him into the wilderness, and you know something? He never let go of his hand, though. He led him in there, and he was holding his hand all the way through those 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came up to that temptation, the Holy Spirit was still there holding his hands right through it. Wow.
Yeah.
So that when you come to your contradictions, know that the Holy Spirit is holding your hands and he's going to take you right through them. And when that devil says, I got you now, you say, I'm holding on to the hand of the Holy Spirit. He's guiding me through. I got the Holy Spirit behind in front of me. I got Jesus behind me. And I got the God in my heart. Yeah. So when the three of us, when the four of us, we're going to kick your little booty.
Yeah.
And we're going to ship your little red wagon back where it came from. That's the way you talk to the devil.
Yeah.
Convergence. Five steps. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have brought this house to where it is today.
Yes.
You're going to do a great wonder. A great wonder to this house, to the leadership. And Father, they're going to take their place where you have called them to. In government, in arts and entertainment, in media, in academia, in the family, in the church, and in the economics or the economy. You're going to place them there. Father, they're going to win their city. They're going to win their region. And like Pastor said, they're hearing them all over Australia.